Are you ready to dream on? Do you know how to fly high and soar among the clouds? Get ready to live adventurously, because the Laura Meeks Show starts now. Listen as Laura lifts you off the ground while teaching you how to fly high. Forget ground level drama and be prepared to confront your dreams head on as she encourages you to navigate towards your North Star and into what just might be the best life you've imagined. Dream on, live adventurously on the Laura Meeks Show.
Hey, this is Laura Meeks. Welcome back to the Laura Meeks Show. We're here live on Transformation Talk Radio. You know, one of the things that I wanted to start with today, because some of you may be new to our audience and the Laura Meeks Show, because there are a lot of shows on Transformation Talk Radio, and there are lots of neat topics and things that we talk about. And it was interesting. We've been working a lot on trying to figure out exactly how to describe who would be interested in the Laura Meeks Show. And there are a lot of things. I've got pages of things but I want to lay a couple on you, because this may help you to decide whether this is the right spot. Because I think for the people that are drawn to this show, that this is the stuff that we're about. First of all, I am a dreamer. So as you hear my story and as we talk about the stuff that we're going to talk about today and we go through our shows, you'll see that a lot of the things that I've done in life is create a dream, follow a dream, and then conclude a dream. And so if you're a dreamer, if you're looking to find your dream, if you're looking to create a dream or to continue your quest on the dream that you're on right now, then this show is kind of for you. One of the other things that you'll see is that I have made a very dramatic change in my life. And if you are ready to make a really dramatic change in your life, then I am the gal that you need to talk to. I believe in the impossible. I believe doing the impossible. So if that's something that you would aspire to, doing something impossible, that's something. And I also have one of my core values is having fun. So fun is important. Today's topic deals a lot with communication, but as anybody who's watching media today realizes that today is the anniversary of 9/11. And it's, I think, important to recognize that. Now, with me today is Steve Ferrari.
Good to be here.
Super, always really interesting guy. He's had a lot of stuff. He's done a lot of stuff with school administration, young kids, and helping people grow from that kind of that early childhood to high school group. A lot of his background is helping those kind of people do the best things that they can. And so it's often a great conversation to hear some of the stuff that he has gone through. But 9/11, as we were getting ready for the show, you know, you and I were talking a lot about the things that made us unite on 9/11. And so what I want to kind of have you reflect on to start with is you made a statement that one of the things that you felt was really important was that right after 9/11, we became united. Tell me about that, and why is that important?
I think what came to my mind, I started thinking in my lifetime, when were people united? I mean, I started thinking, And so I started flipping back, and because we're the United States of America, united together. But it seems now we're all over the, you know, we're not as united as we used to be. So I said, when was this country on common ground? Everyone together, didn't matter ethnic background, gender, didn't matter. We're all on the same ground. Yeah. I said, after 9/11, right after that period, because we were threatened, and all of a sudden, for the first time in most people's lifetime on this soil, we were attacked. And so how do we come together, and how do we protect ourselves? So we're kind of like huddling as a group of people in this country. It didn't matter if you were from the East Coast, West Coast,
left coast, right coast.
Didn't mean anything. And so we became united at that time, which is also can be said for natural disasters of times. You have a hurricane, you have floods, you have fires, you have earthquakes. people get united when there's something threatening them. So here we are today. For the first time we were attacked on our soil, people were united. So I think it's a day we can think about staying united.
Well, it's interesting. It actually is not the first time. You may recall December 7th, 1941, which was another, you know, I think part of what we're getting at here is that it's important as we look back in history and figure out, you know, when can we come together and what are the things that move us apart? And to me, I think that the value of understanding that is that the value to me of the United States is that we are united, that we have come up with a form of government. And this was an interesting piece that I was talking about the other day. Mm-hmm. As challenging it is in our republic and our United States, one of the things you got to think about that's interesting, different than other forms of government, is we have, when we started the United States, there were pockets, each state, believe it or not, and I learned this recently, each state had its own army, mm-hmm. each state had its own navy, each state had its own government, each state had its own money. Now, it wasn't until everybody decided, hey, you know, I've got this state, you're in that state, you're Massachusetts, you got all this, that people started to say, well, how are we going to trade? You know, how are we going to trade for services? How are we going to trade for mm-hmm. goods? Well, we need to have a common government. We need, you know, common language. We need to have common things. And lo and behold, we created a federal government that allowed each state, now think about this, so each state gave up their sovereign army, a sovereign nation, and said, we are going to be part of the United States, and we're going to contribute all for one. Hey, all for one, one for all. that we wanted to create that. Now, unusually, that part of the reason this came up is because, and I want to go back to you and I were talking before earlier about times that this happens. When do we get together? And in the movies, one of the things that I always refer back to is a movie called Independence Day with Will Smith.
Yes.
And one of the values that I found from that movie was as soon as there were aliens up here, then everybody down here gave up all their little battles because there's something up here that is causing, that we all need to fight for. And I think part of what you're saying is that when they hit the towers, all of a sudden Americans were Americans. Like that was an attack on any, they hit New York City and that's in America and we're all together. Pearl Harbor, very much the same.
Well, anyway, like it was a symbolic. We were actually, if you look at the news, if you go back in the reels, they didn't use the word attack for a while, but we were attacked. Make no mistake about it. So people had to hold together. Okay, wow, what's going on with us now? Let's, how do we protect ourselves? A lot of people say, let's protect the borders. I mean, you name it. But people were talking to each other. It was like, we're communicating, we're together. Okay, we are the United States of America. Somehow nowadays, it's kind of like it's fragmented.
Yeah, well, and part of what we want to talk about today is what does bring communication together and what busts communication apart. Because you're absolutely right. You know, after Pearl Harbor, everybody in America was like, oh my gosh, you know, I can't believe that happened. And what are we all going to do? And there weren't a lot of people bickering amongst themselves because we had this other thing that was on the outside. And bigger again, like that, like the aliens above, you know, when there's something bigger, then we all become one. But vice versa, part of the challenge is that it didn't take us very long after 9/11 to start getting really fearful. I mean, that was a scary, scary thing.
Right.
And then once we decide that we were attacked, then there becomes an us and them. And the them was somebody from the Middle East. And one of the things I think is interesting is as we evolve through that who did really attack us, there are lots of misunderstandings about exactly who carried out that attack and who we were. But one of the things that you and I were talking about was is that once that fear sets in, then all of a sudden people are not communicating.
No.
And one of the things that we talked about was the fact that if you looked like you were anywhere from the Middle East.
Right. I was on an airplane shortly after that, and everyone boarding the airplane was looking over their shoulder, naturally, because we're in fear. And I remember there was a gentleman seated as you're walking on the airplane, and he had like a jacket on, but he had a T-shirt with the American flag on it. I'm okay. I'm with you guys.
I'm with you. I'm on your team.
But at that time, people were paranoid.
Well, and Kelly, I mean, this is part of the challenge. And,
sure.
and as we go through the day today, as we're coming up on a break, we're in a spot. 9/11 had some really positive things and some real negative things. And the positive thing was we recognized that we were all part of one country. You know, as the country formed, yes, there were separate states, but they all kind of got together and said, well, we need to form a union of these states for us to accomplish the things that we want. And that accomplishment
right. meant
that we had to compromise. Exactly. So when we come back, the Laura Meek Show is going to investigate compromise and what it takes to get over this fear so that we can talk to each other. And I have some interesting things about survival of the fittest and why that is a challenge.
And connect.
So this is Laura Meek. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
Tune in to the Astral Insider, your portal for adventure, insight, and growth with Fernando Albert. And get ready to tour the astral realm, expand your life in ways you've never imagined, and call in for the journey of your life with this world-renowned lucid dreamer, astral projectionist, psychic medium, and healer, Fernando Albert. This is every second and fourth Monday at 9 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com.
If you have a sense that you are meant for more, join Heather Allison every third Tuesday at noon Pacific as she explores an ancient, forgotten energy within us and helps us access our original archetypal blueprint. The Golden Path will help you remember the key to unlocking your life, love, success, and magic you were meant for. A key to unlocking your Golden Path. Visit heather-allison.com.
Learn and explore fascinating and practical uses of essential oils, how to use them, and how they can enhance your everyday life. The Oil Lounge was founded by three remarkable women with fascinating stories about how essential oils changed their lives. Tina and Laura from The Karmic Path have joined forces to educate the masses in the benefits of Young Living essential oils. For more information, visit theoillounge.com.
Are you ready to finally feel empowered and knowledgeable in your political stance? Let Marsha Padilla Goad educate you on exactly how important grassroots advocacy is in a relatable way to all parties and all perspectives. Tune in to Grassroots Advocacy Radio with Marsha every first Tuesday of the month at 12 p.m. Pacific and 3 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more, visit DynamicsInPublicAffairs.com.
Choose the new earth on the Cornelia Stephanie Show. Tune in each week on Transformation Talk Radio as Cornelia takes listeners on an odyssey of higher consciousness to inspire, educate, and empower. Cornelia guides people on the path of self-healing, peace, and liberation. The Cornelia Stephanie Show is your catalyst for anchoring heaven on earth on a global scale. For more information, go to CorneliaStephanie.com.
People often ask, what does it mean to thrive? On Thrive by Gen Radio, it means body confidence, mind fulfillment, and soul synchronicity. Create synchronicity with God and learn as Jen shares action steps and real stories that will inspire you to be unstoppable in fulfilling your purpose. Tune in live each Monday at 8 a.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com and visit JenniferZellup.com to thrive with Jen.
Hey, this is Laura Meeks. Welcome back. I got Steve Ferreira with me. We are here talking about communication that is 9/11. So part of what we want to include, since it's on this historic day, is that communication, how communication happens and what happens when it breaks down. And one of the things that, Steve, you were talking about was this guy who shows up, obviously Middle Eastern background, but is wearing an American flag. It's like, hey,
I'm okay.
Your team. I'm okay. And one of the things you're talking about in the break is that it's very easy for communication to break down. After 9/11, there was kind of all of a sudden this fear. And fear is one of probably the biggest things that keep you from communicating. Is that once that fear sets in, then you don't want to talk. Now, in your experience, you have done a lot of your work deals with talking.
Correct.
And talking is, so share with us a little bit, perhaps, some of the times that you found, well, in fact, let's talk about the dog. Can you add in the dog story about how that helps communication?
That's a good story. You know, being pet lovers, I had, when I went to I was from San Francisco, so I went to San Diego to work at the County Office of Education, Child Welfare, Attendance, School Safety. I had never really worked a lot with elementary kids, which is, you know, your K through six, basically.
Right.
So part of my job was dealing with kids who weren't going to school and the truancy and those kind of things. And so I have to go over to, by the way, it was Coronado the first time I did this. And so I'm going over there. And I'm talking to these kids, I'm not getting anywhere. Jeez, but I have a little dog. My little dog is Charlie Brown, who's a little Shih Tzu. And it's just adorable and looks like an Ewok. And I had a little jacket, said student support services. So everybody, forgive me, I walk in with Charlie. They love me out of it. They love him. So anyway, I used to put the dog on the lap of these little, second or third. Hey, why aren't you going to school? And with the little puppy there sitting there, they would start talking to me. Icebreakers. So there's different ways to start to break that ice, to get people to start talking to them. Once you stop talking, once you can't get them to talk, how do you get them to talk?
Let's go down this road for a second.
Sure.
I think part of the reason that works is there is also, suddenly there is a bond of trust.
Yes.
Between you. Tell me about trust. And how that fits into your communication. How did you build trust to get these truant kids to talk to you?
Well,
because you're like the cop, you know, you're like this police. I'm not talking to you, you know, you're going to arrest me.
Yeah, well, you know, you kind of flip back a little bit. When I was working, my earlier career, I was working with kids at juvenile hall and probation department. One of the things is you have to be, honesty is really important. If you're not honest with those kids, they pick it up, but they have radar for people who've been conned because they've been conned their whole life. So you have to be a person of your word. You have to follow through. And believe it or not, I told this to parents when I talked to them, kids feel safer with boundaries and limits. And to get people to communicate, you have to feel safe. You have to be honest and you have to follow through. So you have to have those little tools going for you. But the idea is to get a track record built up with these young folks. They say, okay, this guy's coming and talking to me about truancy, but he's a stand-up guy. He's giving me the straight scoop. So we start, you know, Mickey Mousing around and saying, well, I don't know, something might happen. And you have to follow through. If you tell somebody,
right,
those young folks, whether it's your kids at home, hey, next time this happens, this is going to happen. Well, if you don't learn how to navigate as a young person through problems that are this small, when you get older, how do you navigate? So you need to have that track record built up.
Well, and I think one of the challenges that we face is that as we're talking about when do we feel like we're united, right, and when do we feel like we're not united? There is seemingly, from my opinion, we're breaking down in the communication. Mm-hmm. We're forming into these tribes, and the tribes are starting into the my way or the highway, mm-hmm. and we're not talking to each other. We're just kind of fighting each other. We're just like, hey, this is my point of view, and if mm-hmm. you either believe it or you don't, you're either on my team or you're not. But in your world, is mm-hmm. that are do solutions come out of these fights?
No, not you. No, what happens is if you're given to the, you know, I call drawing a line in the sand,
right?
You know, hey, either you're with me or against me. Then people, I find people start getting, they huddle by themselves. Like, I'm not going over there. I'm going to forget it. You know, you have to respect other people's views, agree or disagree with somebody, but at least have that mutual ground of respect so the communication lines can flow. When you start saying, hey, by the way, it's going to be like this, or get out of here.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things I think is very important, I want to continue down this road, is that one of the things that makes us united is our ability to talk and to mm-hmm. be able to communicate with each other. And to do that, mm-hmm. you have to be open to listening mm-hmm. versus hearing.
Listening for understanding rather than disagreement.
Which is, so follow that for a second.
Right. I think when you go in and you may have a little bit of a conflict with somebody, you have to set some kind of ground rules and say, okay, we're all going to try and listen to each other. But if I walk in and say, no matter what this person says, I'm going to disagree with this person. I'm building my side of the story so I can point my finger and say, see, you're wrong and I'm right. It doesn't work like that.
Yeah. See, this is for the producer. I see that we have a caller. So if you can tie the caller in, I would love that idea. But as we're waiting for that to tie in mm-hmm. And hear their question, very, very important to have the strength. Mm-hmm. And so when we're talking about the people that are that would like this show, these are, I think that the people that come to this show have mm-hmm. the internal strength that Republican, Democrat, Independent, wherever you are, that you would have the ability to mm-hmm. to stop mm-hmm. and hear and then to listen to see if there was some sort of common ground. So one of the things that you were saying was, mm-hmm. you know, there's listening for division. Mm-hmm. That's what you got wrong. Let me tell you why you got that wrong. Mm-hmm. This is what I believe, and this is what you got wrong. Mm-hmm. Is a much different platform
right.
to listen to than if you're listening to say, okay, you are different. You want to build a wall, or you some mm-hmm. things that I don't necessarily believe in. But I strongly believe that mm-hmm. we are all human. And to me, I think one of the really fun parts mm-hmm. about the times when we're all together is that in those moments, mm-hmm. people with differing points of view are being heard.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Now, let me ask you this. Let's see. Yeah. Carol? Are we ready for a caller?
Yeah, we have a caller.
Oh, great.
We were just talking about this. Can we get a caller? We
yeah,
have a caller.
It's funny, yeah, guys say, how do people call in, Laura? I don't know.
So who's our caller?
All right. It's Dr. Pat. Are you there, Dr. Pat?
Hi, there. Oh, I'm here. Hey, everybody.
There we go.
Hey, Laura, Dr. Pat. How are you?
I love this show, and I love what you both are talking about. And, you know, I'm not going to take up a lot of time, but here's what I want to say, going back to a couple of things you've talked about.
Okay.
First of all, let me commend you for your definition and answering Laura's question. When Laura asked you about why does it work for you, how does it work for you? Because what you said, Steve, is what you are talking about was something I studied for 10 years, and the work that you're doing and what you're doing, if mm-hmm. we could only apply your blueprint to the lawmakers in Washington, D.C., we would be a lot better. But the thing that I think we're talking about is so important, and it took me 10 years to define for the academic world what integrity is. Mm-hmm. And I want to just leave you with this, because this is, Steve, this is what you said. So here's a quote from my research, and Laura, this is a rocking show. I love it.
Thank you.
Here's what it is. It's I'm going to leave you with this. You need to say what you're going to do, then do it. If something changes, help explain it to people so they understand why they can't count on something happening as promised. Mm-hmm. If you make a promise, keep it. If something doesn't work out, talk about it honestly. That took me 10 years of research to boil down to what you just said in about 30 seconds. I want to thank you both for this show, and I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Thank you both.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. It's awesome to have.
That's good.
Okay. Dr. Pat, if you haven't heard her show, this is Transformation Talk Radio. This is Pat's Network. And so it's great to hear from Dr. Pat and hear her inputs, because these are really, really, really important things, I think, in people's lives. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what makes this radio and this broadcast important, is that these are things that I think people need to think about. One of the things that I put in my list of who likes to talk or listen to Transformation Talk Radio is somebody who is always looking for more. A different point of view, a different angle on something. And I think when we talk about communication and the ability to gather information, all Americans have incredible, we are all united, we all have some important things. Now, there may be 90% of stuff that they are saying that doesn't ring your bell, but everybody's got some little piece. When we come back, I appreciate the call in.
Thanks, Pat.
Well, we will follow down that road. But part of what we want to figure out is that if there are barriers to communication, how can we then build better communication so that we can all enjoy this? This is Laura Meeks, Transformation Talk Radio. Hang on just with your fingernails, because we're going to
be right back.
Right back.
Do you want the knowledge and wisdom to understand where spirituality, science, and psychology intersect? Then join the Karmic Path Radio Show with Tina and Laura on TransformationTalkRadio.com Thursdays at 4 p.m. Pacific. Follow this charmingly, disarmingly dynamic duo as they explore how psychic ability, spirituality, and karmic law tie together. For more information on Tina, Laura, and their groundbreaking work, visit thekarmicpath.com.
Do you know how to achieve wellness in all areas of your life? Hi, I'm Mary Jane Mack. Signs of wellness are a capacity to love and ability to nurture, a sense of purpose, a good sense of humor and plenty of fun in your life, a concern for others and a respect for the environment, a conscious commitment to personal excellence, a sense of balance and integrated lifestyle, and capacity to cope with whatever life presents. Well, people enjoy their lives and want them to last as long as possible. That's why the wellness mindset usually accompanies other constructive, healthy lifestyle habits. By adopting a wellness mindset and behaviors like eating well, taking the right nutrition for the body, exercising, and saying affirmations are just a few things to structure a healthy system of values and beliefs. I will be your wellness coach to help you achieve a wellness lifestyle. Call us at 888-777-4232. That's 888-777-4232. And visit us at MaryJaneMack.com.
What is a brilliant culture, and how do we create them? Why are they important? Claudette Rowley has created a breakthrough five-step process to help you align your culture with your business strategy for exceptional results. Looking for a culture that drives organizational excellence? Listen to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the second and fourth Friday of each month at 10 a.m. Pacific and 1 p.m. Eastern on Transformation Talk Radio. To learn more or work with Claudette, visit culturalbrilliance.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show, stellar conversations to illuminate your journey, engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
Do you know how powerful your thoughts and beliefs are in determining your experience of your life? Is it really true that simply by changing some of the words you use in your day-to-day language, that you can change your life? I'm Megan Edge. Join me on Playing on the Edge, Radical Change with Ease, with my co-host, Dr. Pat, on Transformation Talk Radio. I look forward to seeing you there.
To find out more about Megan Edge, visit her website at meganedge.ca.
Las Vegas, the best.
Yeah, this is.
Sounds like.
Well, she picks out great music because I'm a drummer and I love it.
We're sitting here rocking out.
This is Laura Meeks on Transformation Talk Radio. A couple things. People who listen to this show love other people. People who listen to this show love to have fun. People who listen to this show love to fly in balloons. We have adventure. My Fly High Living is all about dreaming. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously. That's kind of the background of this show. Today is the anniversary of 9/11, and we're talking about communication because communication is how things change. Before the break, we were talking about the fact that there are part of the breakdown in communication happens when people start picking a tribe, and it's my way or the highway. I want to kind of go down this road for a second. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I notice is that when communication breaks down, then people are like ready to fight. It's like, okay, so we're done talking, let's fight. And it's interesting to me that when, and tell me if you've had this happen. Have you ever been trying to talk to somebody and they say, hey, you're totally wrong. I want to fight? Or you want to argue, or you want to step outside? Has that ever happened to you? Do you go to that bar?
Yeah, I think that what happens is when you find, if you're talking to somebody, and just like you said, and you find yourself while you're not listening to what you said, you're going to rebut whatever they say.
Yeah.
I'm building my case. Okay, forget it. Then you know that the communication lines aren't open. But if you find yourself listening to really hear what they're saying, and rather than just giving a rebuttal, then you're better off because then something that the flow of communication is going to start. But a lot has to do with trust. If you don't have trust, like raising children, doesn't make you. And today's world where a lot of the young folks are on some type of electronic device a lot of the time, and are texting and whatever. The communication lines are different. It's a different way of communicating. When I was a school administrator, I could find if someone was in the hallway doing something they shouldn't be doing. It doesn't matter what. Fill in the blanks.
He's the guy.
Fill in the blanks. I could freeze a student by looking at him sometimes. And he'd go, oh, Mr. Ferry, I'm sorry. I'm not going to throw that paper in the, you know, yeah, across.
What was I thinking? Head.
Nowadays, if you look at him like that, going, hey, man, what are you looking at? You know, so it's different type of communication, as you know, facial expressions, reading people's posture, a lot different now when everybody's operating on some type of a device. I always recommend to parents, have the kids unplug every so often. Have them just talk to you and see what happens.
Well, and I do want to go down the technology thing. I've got a whole little piece that I want to talk about that because it is important. We are communicating in a different. And part of the challenge of communication, mm-hmm. I think, with devices, and we had this happen in our company. So we had a large consulting company, 40 mm-hmm. people, and we were all over the country, and mm-hmm. we started communicating. And I have to tell you, one of the biggest challenges mm-hmm. we had was flaming email fights.
Oh.
And communication. So in the land of communication, let's talk about that for a second. You know, one of the things, and I think part of the reason that if you're not watching this show on the Facebook Live version, you're getting part of our message, but you're not seeing the whole interaction that's happening. And that's important because so much of our ability to communicate is nonverbal. And, you know, back in the Air Force, when I first got into the Air Force, we had all these seminars on race relations. Back then in the 70s, it was all about, you know, can different cultures work within the Air Force together? And a lot of that was getting different ethnic groups and racial groups together in one room, face to face, to see that it's not, people are not that scary in person. And, you know, one of the things that we're talking about after 9/11, all of a sudden anybody that had any ethnicity that looked Middle Eastern was all of a sudden, you know, people didn't come up and say, hey, you know, are you an American? Are you
didn't matter.
It's just like, you're the enemy. They told me that these are the guys that bombed the tower, and you look like one of them, so you must be one of them. And there's not communication going on there. There's just the assumption. You know, they say, do you know the deal about assumption? It makes an ass out of you and me.
Right, exactly.
Assume, S-S-U-M-E, assume. That's kind of, to me, the epitome of a challenge of communication is that once you stop asking questions and listening for commonality, now you're breaking down communication. And I think that's a challenge. Now, one of the things that you talked about is trust. One of the big to-dos, I think, as we're talking about 9/11 and the challenges of where America is, are we united, are we divided, is trust. And one of the big to-dos of the current administration, it seems to be about breaking down the trust of the media. How do you feel about that? Can we communicate if we don't trust the media?
Well, I think that that's a great point because if you go backwards and the media, there were maybe three or four channels on a television, okay?
Wow.
Walter Cronkite, whatever he said, that must be true. Okay. Now you have all these channels. You can dial in and find a channel that will allow you to hear exactly what you want to hear. No matter what side of the aisle you're on.
Right.
The media, a lot of times, and there's people who do a lot of research and data, it's data driven. They might like controversy on certain things. They might like to stare to, it's like when you go, take a driver's test and you get your driver's test back, what are the first things you remember? The ones you missed.
Yeah. I think that's true for any test you take. It's like, you know, and in the land of, you know, transformation talk radio and how to make a transformation in your life, one of the challenges is that we do have a brain and grew up in an academic system. At least I did. I think it's changing, but I grew up in an academic system where, you know, if you got 90, your parents didn't say, wow, that's great. What did you get right? Tell me about all the things you got right.
Right.
They didn't say that.
No.
They said, you got 90. What did you get wrong?
Yeah.
You know, and that's the first thing is like, hey, I got two wrong. What was the ones I got wrong? And then you just think.
Well, and the media, getting back to the media part of it, media will paint, you know, what you want to hear. Okay. So again, you could dial into whatever, you fill in the blank, whatever channel you're listening to. I'm going to listen to this channel because I like what they're hearing because it's my point of view.
Right.
So where is that line of trust where they're really giving it to you straight? That's a key.
Now, let me ask you this. Sure. With that option, and I face this every day because the three main cable channels really are not news channels anymore. They're political news channels. Right. So, you know, barring Hurricane Dorian that struggled into the news because it was a big to-do, you do find yourself getting inundated with a particular point of view. How do you battle that? How do you How do you get a variety?
It's hard. I have family up in the Bay Area, San Francisco Bay Area. I'll go up there and listen to a local news channel. Okay. Get on an airplane, fly to Southern California. I'm in San Diego. Have basically the same story painted different. So where is that?
Yeah.
Maybe the truth's in the middle. I mean.
Think about communication. One of the things you talked about was the challenge of building a trust with your child. So a child comes home late from a date. And the question is, as a parent, how are you going to communicate to your child? If your answer is, you're grounded for 3 weeks, where were you? Well, you've already dealt the punishment. You're grounded for 3 weeks. So then the child's going to go, A, I'm not going to tell you where I really was. And B, I'm never going to tell you that again. I mean, if you ask, I already know that's a challenge. A better way to maybe ask would be to say, what happened? You know, I thought mm-hmm. we had a deal. We had some trust that we were going to come home. What sort of things led you to not coming home? And then finding out that, oh my gosh, there was something realistic that you could understand before you said, okay, that's it.
Well, and it could be something, I tell parents this all the time, something very simple is sit down with them. You know, when they come home and your teenage son or daughter's walking around, or have them just sit down. I mean, one time, might have been both boys or one of the boys came home and mom's upset and da, da, da. And I think it might have been Evan, who's my international pilot now, okay? I wanted to kill him 1,000 times.
And, but now he's a respected pilot.
Yeah. He said, well, I just won't come home then.
Yeah.
And I said, wait, Evan, sit down. Let's talk about this. No, that's not, we were scared, you know? And it worked. It got okay. But if you come at it from the aggressive, actually you're coming at it from fear as a parent a lot of times. See, my kid's in a car accident. What happened to him? Who's he hanging out with?
Yeah.
Then the kid's going, well, I just won't come home, or I'm not calling you if I'm going to be grounded for a month. Heck with it. So it's putting them in getting them in a place where they're comfortable to tell you what really happened. And then a little bit of a give and take sometimes.
Say, this is a note to the producer. We're going to skip the break. I just want to stay on this topic because we've only got a couple minutes left in the show.
Okay.
So I'm going to skip that break. So if you're waiting to go to the bathroom, you have to wait about another 8 minutes. Take a deep breath. Because there's so many things that are challenging in the land of communication. There's your personal belief, your ability to be open to communication, your desire to understand. I think there's you have to enter a communication with the desire and the ability, as you said, to be open to other ideas. And then there's all these communication avenues to go. And one of the things that I found interesting in the business world is I grew up in the world where, and we were talking about this earlier, where we had a telephone book and had white pages and yellow pages, and you'd advertise in the yellow page.
Sure.
And people would call, you know, the mode of connection.
It'd go like this, down.
Yeah, you know, I had a company called Action Ceiling, which was a ceiling company. We chose Action because it was in the A's, so that when people flipped open to ceiling cleaner, that we would be the first ceiling cleaner because people tend to choose that one first. But it was a phone. You know, people called on the phone to hear and interact on the phone. One of the things that I find interesting now is that I've had employees who I say, well, hey, you know, call this guy up and find out what's going on. Like, no, I'll just email him. It's like, No. I don't want to find out in 10 minutes. I want to call him right now, get him on the phone, and talk to him, because there is a certain level of communication that happens.
Right.
Now, I will say, you know, we're currently on Zoom, Facebook Live and Zoom, so we can see, people can see us doing this. Tell me about the evolution and how would you suggest to people that they build a better communication structure?
I think that one of the short answers is not just to rely on one mode of communication. If you're relying on one mode, you know, get these people, and part of my, one of my jobs with schools in San Diego was a complaint department, basically, for everything, everything went on in 42 districts. And people would call me. This is, it's a great story. People would call me up, and they would start, obviously, at a school site or maybe go to the district level. Quite often, people would call me up and would, were fired up about not being heard by somebody, not being acknowledged. So it became, not being heard, not being acknowledged became more important for, oh, what really happened? Why? What was the complaint about? Oh, well, I am mad about that, but I'm mad it wasn't being heard. So I think with all the different modes of communication we have, to start look at different ways of doing it. Could emails are fine, but as you mentioned, verbal communication, that you're hearing a person's voice. Hey, how you doing? Let me tell you what's going on here. Like in your case with the business. Hey, I want to follow up on this. Oh, really? You took the time to call me. What? Something different.
Yeah. Well, and it's interesting too that you say that you took the time to call me.
Yes.
Because in so many ways, I think what we're seeing is a generation who are more connected in the sense that more information is coming together. Mm-hmm. But they're more disconnected in the sense that they don't have a personal interaction. They're not getting connected to people. They're just getting connected to information. And I think for the country to get together, one of the things that I mm-hmm. love about what's going on within the election cycle mm-hmm. is the fact that there are lots of avenues to get information about somebody that you might want to vote for.
Right.
So we have, one of the things that was brought up recently was the debates mm-hmm. and the fact that, you know, there is a structure to the debates and there's 10 people on stage and then there's two, and it was like, there's so much
there's ground
going
rules.
On there's that ground it's rules, yeah. hard to gather information. But I heard the head of the DNC talk the other day, and one of the things that I thought was important was, is the debates are not the only method. Just like you say, you need to have a variety of tools mm-hmm. to communicate. And I think that the closer that you can get to human mm-hmm. contact, mm-hmm. the closer you can get to that, the better the information that you're going to communicate.
Mm-hmm.
Once you get into texting, emails, tweeting, what can limit it? You know, I mean, tweeting is like the antithesis of communication. It's like limited to I forget how many characters now, and it's just a soundbite. And what, you know, I was talking earlier about the challenge of the email flame wars. We had all our consultants were all around the country. Mm-hmm. Somebody would wake up in the morning and write a letter to Steve, and Steve would get this email and saying, well, I heard you said this, that, and the other thing, and I can't possibly agree with that, and I think you're totally wrong. Send the email. Steve gets the email is like, what the hell you think? They would spend an hour writing this flaming email of like, you said this, and I said that, and that was not what happened. Oh, yeah. And then finally, Annie and I would get a call from one of them going, I quit. It's like out of the blue. You quit. What happened? Well, so-and-so sent an email and they said this and I said that. And this, have you talked to each other? Talk to each other? Why would we talk to each other? I got all their emails. I got it all in written form. It's like, and you know what starts a lot of this? Sarcasm.
Mm-hmm.
A sarcasm in a tweet, sarcasm in an email, sarcasm in a Facebook post is hard.
Mm-hmm.
To get, you have to be an expert writer to get across sarcasm. So what happens is you say something you think is kind mm-hmm. of funny, sarcastic, and they take mm-hmm. it as a mm-hmm. slam. Mm-hmm. The next thing you know, you've got a fight going
mm-hmm.
on.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
That's a great point. I remember I used to get these emails from parents who are hot on a topic, okay? And I say, well, come to my office. And these, I mean, serious emails, like sometimes in different colors and yeah. capital letters and
capital,
you name it.
Capital tweet.
Yeah, I'm like, wow. And they said, let's come to my office and talk to me. So come on in. And this person would sit down and go, how can this be the same person who wrote this? This is really a nice person. But here, it was like, it's a different mode. Just when you push that send button, that's a whole different program than sitting down with somebody face to face. Hey, tell me what you're really angry about. Well, you know, really, maybe not that bad, but your modes change.
Yeah.
And you're building up that connection. hard. Sometimes it's hard to connect. It's a connection, granted. Yeah.
Well, I want to go back to one of the things that you said, because I think that's, I think you captured in some regard the heart of the challenge of communication is people want to be heard. And it's interesting. Here's kind of another piece of that pie. One of the things that is happening now, and perhaps I'm part of this challenge, is that everybody wants to be heard. So there are thousands of ways, Facebook and blogs and posts and radio and TV and all these ways to say what you're saying. But then the common complaint is no one heard me. There's 10,000 things to hear, but no one heard me. I think when you start looking at the breakdown of communication, when people are getting to this, I'm going to fight you for this, you're wrong. Don't you think part of that is they're just not being heard, and that.
Well, the frustration sits in, and the more frustrated you are, the angrier you become. And you start digging in, the other side's digging in. Like you said, let's go outside and duke it out, so to speak.
Yeah.
Nothing happens.
Well, and nothing does happen. You know, there is a certain cultural thing I think that we have. I call it the Super Bowl syndrome. Is like, okay, you got your team, I got my team. We're going to battle on the field, and then the best person wins. I win.
Right.
I win. I'm right. I win. It's right. Like, well, so what have you won? We haven't, you know, we'll bring this back in to United States. The only way we can be united is if everybody gets to say their piece and somebody is out there listening.
Without fear that if they say something, they're not going to get drilled. They're not going to be, you know, disrespected.
So yeah.
They feel like they are heard.
Yeah. And we hadn't had this, so maybe talk about respect. How can we build respectful communication? What would that sound like? I mean, when you have a parent comes in and says, my son Johnny didn't do that. What the hell, you took him out of school?
He never did that. Pretty good at that.
That's I have kids.
That was good. So the answer would be, you have to kind of say, okay, get it all out. Tell them what you're saying. A lot of times people, if you give them an opportunity to vent everything and then you bring it down to a certain level, okay, then the listening starts happening. But sometimes people need to get it out. And without being like, if I say what I really want to say, then something's going to happen to me. Then they won't talk to you anymore. There's where the doors start shutting down. You don't want the doors to shut.
No, why don't you want the doors to shut?
Because the doors are shut, people start going in their own corners, and then there's no communication. Then nothing gets solved. Then people get angrier, upset, and they become more polarized.
Yeah. Well, and I think that's part of what we're seeing in America. Now, one of the things that I do think, and again, I'll go back to the people that are watching this show, the people that watch this show, these are people who believe the best about people and that people are good in their heart. And so I think one of the important pieces, and so put yourself in that situation where you've got this angry parent, they come in, Johnny didn't do it, and I'm going to tell you why and what Johnny's been through. What are you doing internally not to punch them?
Well, I think you have to, again, give them the opportunity to say what they need to say, and then give them as much information as possible to say, okay, here's why this teacher did this or this administrator did this. Here's all the information. And I think people sometimes when they're angry, they usually don't have all the information. So you want to give them what they need. Give them more tools to start the lines of communication open. If you put up the doors right away and say, look, that's it. I'm not listening to you. Here's what's going to happen. Then you might as well. Then it's like, okay, we're going to escalate it to a different level. I'll go talk to whomever I have to do to get this done. Then you have legal problems. You don't want to go there. It's not worth it.
Well, sadly, we're near the end of the show.
Uh-oh.
So part of what I want to cover is this, is that – 9/11, we all came together, at least for a little while. And then we kind of ebb and flow. And one of the things that I find is that the solution is not fighting. This is not survival of the fittest. It's not about being physically strong. It's about being mentally agile. And when, and I'll just use the wall. It's sometimes hard for me to hear that people want to build a wall. But as a good communicator, you have to be able to ask them, what about the wall makes sense to you, so that you can have a dialogue. So as we leave this 9/11 story today, I hope that all of you take a big breath, meet somebody who you don't agree with, and see if you can practice your ability to communicate. This is Laura Meeks. It's been a great show. Thanks, Steve, for being on today.
I'm glad to be here.
And this is Transformation Talk Radio, Laura Meeks Show, and we will be back in 2 weeks. See you then.
You've been listening to The Laura Meeks Show. Dream on, fly high, live adventurously on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. And we hope you'll join us next month as Laura helps you find your unique gifts so you can bring them to the world. For more information on Laura Meeks or to listen to past shows, visit her website at flyhighliving.com. Check out her hit Dream On 12-week course, where you get the personal attention you need to fly high in your new life.